Comes True presents Meditation for Beginners with the author of A Path with Heart and co-founder of the Spirit Rock Meditation Center in Woodacre, California, Jack Kornfield. And now, recorded in front of a small audience, Session 1, How to Meditate with Jack Kornfield.
In our work together today, we will learn the most simple and universal practices of meditation that come from the great spiritual traditions throughout the world, in particular focusing on the meditation of mindfulness or of a real presence in our life. In Africa, there's a story that illustrates the quality of listening that can come through meditation. In a particular East African tribe or village, when a child is born, they don't count the birthday of that child from the day that the child comes from its mother's body, or even the day it's conceived, as in certain other cultures, but rather from when that child was first a thought in its mother's mind. That's the real birthday. And as soon as the mother realizes she would like to have a child with this particular partner, she will go off and sit out in the field under a tree and listen and wait until she can hear the song of the child that wants to be born in her heart, that will come from the wedding or the coming together with this particular man. And when she hears the song, she sings it to herself and then returns back to the village and teaches it to her partner so that when they make love together, join together in love, they sing this song and invite this child to be born. And later, as she's pregnant, she sings the song to the child in the womb and teaches it to the midwives so that when the child is born, the first song or sound that it hears is those gathered around singing its own unique song. And after that, as the child grows, the people in the village learn the song of this person, so that when he falls or she falls and hurts herself, someone picks her up and sings her song to her. Or in the rites of passage or rituals of the village, the song is sung, the wedding ceremony, both songs are sung. Until finally, even at the end of life, the song of this child, now as an old man or woman, is sung for the last time as villagers gather around and say their last words. When I first heard this story, it touched in me a longing to live in a place where we heard one another's songs, where we were so in tune with ourselves and with one another that we could greet each other in that way. To meditate allows us to hear the song within ourselves, to be respectful and listen to the song of others around us. We all sense, as we take time to quiet ourselves, the possibility that our lives could be lived with greater compassion and with greater wakefulness. To meditate is to support that inner knowing, to allow that to come forth in our life. There are many types of meditation. Some of them use a candle flame, an image, a sacred prayer that's repeated over and over, that have a single focus, and when we repeat that focus over and over, our mind becomes quiet and concentrated and still. It's as if we leave the world behind. They're wonderful kinds of meditation. One of the drawbacks of this kind, however, is that when we finish with our prayer or candle flame or mantra, it's as if we come out of our cave and go back into the world, and in the supermarket or on the highway, again, the complexities of life are difficult for us. A second major category of meditation, which is what we'll work with today, is the meditation that uses the process of life itself as the subject, as the focus of the meditation practice. And in that way, we will use our breath and body, the sounds, the feelings within us, our heart and mind, all of the stuff of our life as the place to focus. We'll begin, however, very simply, just by coming here to this moment, to become aware in the simplest way of what is in our own body and heart and mind. So how to begin meditation? The first step is to find a stable and comfortable posture. So you can become aware of your body at this point. You can sit squatting on a cushion, or you can sit cross-legged, or you can sit on a chair with your feet flat on the floor. What matters is that there be a sense of stability and comfort or ease. You want to let your body rest comfortably on the earth, as if you're supported by the chair or the cushion, in such a way that you can sit still for a number of minutes without the body being in conflict. Then allow yourself to sit up relatively straight, but without being rigid, in a way with the quality of dignity. You're taking this seat halfway between heaven and earth and opening yourself to be more aware of the human life you've been given. Finding this posture, sitting up straight without being rigid, allow the shoulders to drop and the hands to rest easily anywhere that is comfortable. To meditate is not to fight with oneself, so you want to be able to sit really comfortably and at ease. And if you become uncomfortable, if there's discomfort in your legs, it's quite fine to move. There's enough difficulty in life without making more of it for yourself in meditation. Once you've found a comfortable way to sit, then allow your eyes to close gently, or if you wish, you could leave them open slightly, but downcast and not looking around the room. The purpose, once one has found a comfortable posture of beginning the awareness, is to cultivate a quality of presence or mindfulness and compassion. And to do that most simply, we will connect with our own breath and body. In that sense, we'll start with an awareness of the present moment, because the present moment is really all that we have. For example, if you're interested in love, the only place that you can really love another person is in the present, or love a sunset, or love the day. Love in the past is a memory, and love in the future is a fantasy. To be really alive, love or any other experience must take place in the present. To connect with ourselves is the essence of meditation. There's a line that James Joyce wrote in one of his novels, where he said, "Mr. Duffy lived a short distance from his body." And there's some way in modern life in which we've all found ourselves disconnected from our bodies and our breath. So to stabilize, to connect ourselves with our life, we begin in the most universal way by becoming aware of our breath. Having found a posture that's stable and comfortable, again with your eyes either gently closed or relaxed and slightly open but not looking around, begin to pay attention to your body, allowing it to relax and noticing the sensations that are here as you pay attention. If you notice any obvious areas of tightness, you can soften them. Let the eyes and face be soft. The shoulders drop. The hands rest easily. Let the belly be soft and the breath natural. Let yourself just rest for a moment, being aware of what you notice here as you feel your body, as you rest on the earth. As you sit quietly, you'll notice there are different thoughts and feelings and sounds that arise and pass, including these words. Let the sounds and thoughts arise and pass easily, like waves in the ocean, and let your mind and heart be soft, be open, and at peace. Notice the waves as they come and go, and simply be present with the feelings and the experiences that pass each moment as you sit. In this space of a kind and relaxed attention, now let yourself become aware of the fact of your breathing. In the midst of the thoughts, the sounds, and feelings that come and go, you can sense your life breath. You can sense the feeling or the sensation of this rhythm of breath. It might be coolness in the nose, tingling the back of the throat, or you might feel the breath as the movement of the chest or the rise and fall of the belly. Let the breath have its natural rhythm, and as you feel it, rest your attention in the breathing. Sense the breath carefully. Focusing on the breath is our beginning. It is a way of connecting the mind and heart and body together here in the present. If it's helpful to you, you can take one or two deeper breaths and feel what place in the body the breath is most apparent to you. And even if the breath is quite soft, see if you can let your attention become careful and notice the coolness, the tingling, the movement or vibration, the expansion of the belly. Notice whatever you can of the breath and rest your attention in it. As you feel each breath, let there be a sense of relaxation, both a presence or alertness, and at the same time, an ease, a resting in the sensation of breath. After several breaths, you will probably notice that your mind wanders. After several breaths, often a wave of thought or feeling or sound will come and carry you. As soon as you notice this wave, you can acknowledge it very simply. There's been thinking, imagining, or sound, and release it, let it go when you notice it, coming back gently and directly to feel the breath again. After a few breaths, the waves of thought or sound may again carry your mind off. The mind will wander. As soon as you notice, gently let go and return back to feel the next breath when you can. No judgment, no evaluation. It's like training a puppy. Stay. You put your mind on the breath, and in a few breaths, like the puppy, the mind wanders away. You pick the puppy back up and put it down. Stay. be gentle. There's no need to beat the puppy, or no need to judge yourself. It is a gentle training of learning to come back and be here, one breath after another, to center yourself in the breathing. Each time the heart wanders or is distracted, bring it back to the breath quite gently, over and over again, learning just to relax and be awake and present here. If you have difficulty feeling the breath, you can take one hand and place your palm on your belly so that you feel the movement of belly in the flat palm of your hand. Resting your palm there, you can feel the natural rhythm as the breath opens and expands. Let your hand and belly together then become the focus of breathing for this time. The life breath, the universal breath, can calm us and center us. Return back to it again and again. Now we'll end the meditation with a soft ringing of the bells. Let your eyes open. Bring your attention back to the room here. This is the first beginning, and it's really a beginning of practice that, like any art, the art of meditation takes some time to practice. St. Francis de Sales said, as a contemplative, to meditate, what is required is a cup of understanding, a barrel of love, and an ocean of patience. Just the willingness to come back again and again and sense what is here over and over. Some of the common kinds of questions that come up for people, even after just the first meditation, sitting and connecting with the breath, have to do with tightness of breath. People might feel that there's a sense of the breath being controlled as they pay attention to it. This also is quite natural, and when you notice that, all that's asked is to simply relax, to try to let the breath move easily, and even if there's still a feeling of tightness, just to let the tightness be there with an easy mind and an easy heart. Also, people say, my mind wanders 100 times in 10 minutes, 1,000 times. Will I ever learn to meditate? Can I do it right? It's natural that it wanders. It's been doing it for however old you are, for that many years. And it's part of what minds do. So the art of meditation is to see the wandering of the mind, and in that moment when you acknowledge it, just to come back again, to bring the heart back 1,000 times, like the training of the puppy. Sometimes people also notice that their breath gets very soft, and they wonder if they shouldn't speed it up or make it stronger so they can feel it more easily. But the idea is actually to refine our attention so we can listen more deeply and feel what's there naturally in our body. So if the breath is soft, you want to try and let your attention get to be equally careful to match the softness of the breath, to notice its beginning or its end or the coolness or the space between breaths, to become interested in the breath as it moves in the body. The next step in the meditation, after settling ourselves with a posture and after finding the breath in our body and finding a way to rest for a few moments in the breath, is to expand the field of our awareness, of our mindfulness, to include all the energies and sensations of the body. So what that means is that as you sit, there will be ease or tightness, pleasure, itching, areas of vibration, sometimes pain, and all of those can be included in the meditation with the same kind of attention and respect that we began to develop for the breath. As you sit still, the body begins to open, and in its opening, what we feel are often the things that the busyness of our life has kept us from noticing, so that there can be sometimes unaccustomed sensations just because we're not used to sitting still. But more deeply than that, as you sit, you will at times feel tension in your shoulders or jaw or back or belly or some part of your body that is painful. And you wonder, now why should this happen? Here I am just sitting in meditation trying to be peaceful, not doing very much. Why should it be tense or tight? What happens as you sit and become still is that the areas of tension we carry and accumulate in our life become revealed to us. So that as you're sitting, feeling the rhythm of your breath, all of a sudden, certain places may become painful or warm or hot or tight. And in those areas then, what's necessary is to allow that opening of the body, whether it's pleasant or painful, to happen in the same field of mindfulness, in the same spirit of attention. In that sense, what happens in your body, even if it's difficult, is not a problem, but a kind of healing. The tension that we carry when it first opens will show us all the conflict or pain or difficulty that we may have stored in our body. And as you pay attention to it with a careful and gentle awareness, it will gradually open and release. The central principle in allowing the body to be a part of the meditation is to receive what arises for you with the same quality of presence or awareness as we generated with the breath. There's a sign in a casino in Las Vegas that says on it, you must be present to win. And it's true in Las Vegas, and it's the same principle in meditation, that what allows us to open is the quality of presence that we bring. The key to how we work with what arises in the body is how we touch it. A famous poem about Saint Francis speaks of Saint Francis putting his hand on the furrowed brow of a troubled person or a troubled creature, even an animal, and reminding them with the kindness of his touch of their own inner beauty, of their own inner loveliness. As we sit in meditation, whether it's tension or pain or ease or difficulty, within the body, whatever energies arise, we want to receive with the same quality of kindness of Saint Francis putting his hand on the brow of that creature. The simple way that we do this is to name and acknowledge the energies that arise in the body, feeling them and giving them the same attention as the breath. So that if there's itching, instead of scratching the itch, you simply note itching to yourself to acknowledge it and feel the itching and give it space to tingle and itch for a time, and after a bit you'll notice that it passes away. Or coolness or warmth or tension or pain, you can name it to yourself softly, tingling, heat, tension, and as you feel it softly, give it space to open and notice how the body itself wants to change and flow and move. Now, it's important as you pay attention to the opening of the body in meditation that you not get it in your mind how it's supposed to be. It will open like a flower does, each aspect of the body in its own time. Sometimes when you pay attention to something, it will dissolve and you'll feel more peaceful. Sometimes it will stay the same. Sometimes it'll get worse. You pay attention, and the intensity of that pain or tension in the body will get actually stronger. And that means that it needs to open in that way to allow a kind of peace or freedom to come on a deeper level within you. Again, finding a comfortable posture for yourself, stable and at ease. Let your eyes close gently or eyelids lower somewhat. And bring your awareness back as we had with the breathing, just to the present. You can notice again the natural rhythm of your breath, feeling the sense of that coolness or tingling in the nose, feeling the movement or chest and belly. And let yourself rest in the breathing as we had before. And as you feel the breathing, the mind wanders, let yourself return back to it quite naturally. So that you're here in the present moment with this breath, the body sensations of breathing. And now as you sit, feeling the natural rhythm of breath and noticing the mind as it wanders off and you return back, become aware if there are any sensations in your body that become strong and pull your attention away from the breathing. So as you feel the breath, if there's tingling or coolness or itching or tightness in your legs or hips, instead of ignoring it, let go of the breathing and now feel that quite carefully. You can name it to yourself softly, tingling, or tightness, and give it space in your heart and your awareness. Let yourself feel it easily, letting that energy of the body open in your attention. See if you can be aware of the sensation in a peaceful or a kind way. To give you some practice in awareness of your body, let go of the breathing for now and take a few moments to scan your body and feel where the sensations are strongest. And whatever area the sensations are strongest, name them to yourself quite softly. Tingling, coolness, pressure, throbbing. And as you name them, feel them, giving space for that body energy or sensation to open easily. Maybe it will get stronger. Maybe it will dissolve. That's not your task. Simply notice. And after those sensations have been felt and passed away, then you can return back to the breathing, feeling again several breaths, resting in the natural rhythm of breath. as you follow the breath, if again there come any strong sensations, let go of the breathing and receive the sensations with a kind awareness that includes them in the meditation, naming them softly. Let us explore more deeply how awareness can work with the sensations of the body. Scan your body now as you sit, and let yourself feel the area which most deeply asks for healing. What place in your body asks for a healing attention? And as some place arises, feel deeply what are the sensations, the energies, the quality of wounding that may be there, and allow those sensations, or even that pain, to float in a sea of kind attention, as if your heart and mind was the ocean, and those sensations could be held with great kindness. Name them softly, tingling, pain, whatever they are. Allow them to open or change as they will. It is as if through your kind attention you could place a healing hand anywhere within your body. And again, after opening the awareness to those sensations and areas of the body that ask for healing, you can return your attention when you've finished back again to feel the breathing, alternating the breath some of the time, or awareness of the energies of the body as they open. If you become aware of tension or pain in your body, let the awareness be open and curious. We have the name pain, and usually we've been trained to run away. But what is the quality there? Is it tightness or heat? And if you hold it in a kind attention, what happens to it? Let it open as it will. Returning back to the breath, again and again gently, now for this last time, a few breaths, mindfully. Let your awareness come back again to the eyes open and to the room here. Let yourself sit comfortably as we talk. Some of the kinds of questions that come up when you start to work with the sensations in the body can include what happens if it lasts a long time. Do you spend your whole sitting being aware of a pain in your knee or something? And you don't want to make a struggle out of the meditation, so that if there's something opening in your body, you give it attention as best you can, and if it becomes a struggle, then you can just release that and go back to your breathing quite naturally. Be aware of the breath for a while and then go back to it again in an easier way later. You don't want to make the meditation something where you're fighting against yourself. It's rather to allow yourself to open. Another question often comes up, what about if your legs fall asleep? Or what about if you get pins and needles and tingles and so forth? And you can experiment with that. Sometimes you can sit and feel what the pins and needles are like and let that be part of the wave of meditation. In other words, you can sit and learn how to be with even something that intense. But then after a while, if it's too much or it seems too much to focus on all the time, then just simply change your posture and again come back and work with the breath or whatever else is there in a natural way. In the same way that we're paying attention to the sensations of the body, also if sound arises, it can be included in the awareness. So there you are feeling the breath in the nose or the breath in the belly or the chest, and all of a sudden there's a loud sound or an airplane goes overhead or a truck that goes by or whatever it is, and you can simply feel the sound as it touches your ear. And you can note, if you wish, hearing, and let the sound be a wave just like the breath is a wave. And you remain centered in the midst of it. When the sound passes, then you return naturally back to the breath. It's really helpful to know how to work with sound in meditation because lots of circumstances are kind of noisy. I had a friend who was meditating who lived in the city quite near a firehouse. And at first he would get really upset because there he'd be very peaceful, feeling his breath. And then the sirens would go on. And what he learned after some time was that he could include the sirens. He kind of made a game for himself. When the sirens would start, he would see if he was really present and mindful at that time. And after a while, he began wishing that the siren would come more often because it would wake him up. So let us look at some of the common states that arise as one begins to meditate that become difficulties or distractions. One of the first of these is the wanting mind. It's sometimes called the if-only mind. You're sitting here meditating, minding your own business perhaps, or you're sitting here meditating, just following your breath, and all of a sudden your mind says, if only I had something to eat. Or if only it were warmer, or if only it were cooler, or if only I had a more comfortable meditation cushion, or if only this or that. Do you know the if only mind? It's the mind that comes and taps you on the shoulder and says, if only you could get this, then you would be satisfied. Your life would be fulfilled. But the problem with the if only mind is that as soon as you get that, the if only mind doesn't stop. It says, all right, I got a nice car. Now I want more money in this relationship. And it's always something that we don't have, something in the future. So what do you do when this force of wanting comes? First, you see it for what it is. I think it was George Bernard Shaw who said, there are two great disappointments in life, not getting what you want and getting it. And you see that it's just the wanting mind, and you see it for what it is. In seeing it, you can name it in the same way that we acknowledge the pleasure or the painful sensations in the body. You can note desire or wanting, and instead of getting up and opening the refrigerator or whatever your common distraction is, you sit there and feel the hunger or the wanting, and you name wanting, wanting, or if only, and sense what that energy is like. And then you have a choice. Will you get up? Maybe it's the wise thing to do. Or perhaps you can also learn to know the wanting mind and to find a place of peace that doesn't have to follow each of those as they arise. As you acknowledge desire or wanting, you begin to see that your mind is a little bit like a child. I know when I took my daughter to Disneyland, I want this kind of candy, and I want to go on that ride, and I want this. And our minds aren't very different, really. You sit still, and it wants all these things, and you can say, yes, that's nice. You don't have to be angry with your child. But you just see it for what it is. You see the mind for what it is. And you find a place of rest in the midst of knowing, of wisdom. Another way to understand what we can do with the energies that arise is to imagine that you could bow to them. Not that there's something wrong with them, or you have to follow them, but you can simply say, oh, that's interesting too. When I was in the monastery, we were taught to bow as we entered the meditation hall or bow to the master. And later on, one of the senior monks told me, strictly speaking, you should bow to all your elders. And since I was a new monk, that meant bowing to all the people in the community. And at first I had some resistance to it, but after a while I began to look at each person and see what it was that was beautiful in that person that I could bow to. And then after a while I began to bow before I would eat, and bow before I went to sleep, and pretty soon if it moved I would bow to it. And it had such a beautiful spirit to have that kind of respect for what there was that arose, whatever it was. In the same way, our attention in meditation is almost as if we could bow to these great forces of our life. Here is the wanting mind. Then there comes its opposite, aversion, anger, fear, that aspect of the mind that judges or pushes away what our experience is. So you're sitting here, feeling your breath quite naturally, and all of a sudden the mind says, I don't like this. I don't want that. I want that to go away. I hate this. And you begin to feel the opposite energy, the resistance of the mind. When you notice that anger arises, you might also feel the quality that's there just before the anger. Because usually, right before there comes a moment of anger, there will be the sense of hurt, or fear, or some loss. And if we can feel that, we notice how little mercy or kindness we have to ourselves or to another. When we get afraid, or when we feel pain, or when we feel hurt, the response is often anger. And yet what is most healing is to acknowledge the anger and also to notice that which brings cause to it, to hold that in the care of our attention. In the same way, you can be aware of judgment. Judgment arises, here you're sitting, and your mind wanders, and you say, I shouldn't be wandering, I want to come back to my breath, I'm not doing it right. And then you say, well, I shouldn't be judging either, but what's that? It's just another judgment, right? And you say, and I shouldn't be judging that either, and pretty soon there's a string of judgments. So what do you do with judgment? You sit there and you bow to it, and you say, oh, there's the judging mind, everyone has it. Other common energies that arise that are difficulties as one begins to meditate. Sleepiness. Sometimes you sit down and you feel so sleepy and your head begins to nod. It can be caused by different things. Part of it is simply that we live so busily. And you sit down and you get quiet and your body says, remember me, I haven't had enough rest. You've been running around too much. And so then you can take the sleepiness as a reminder from your body for care, for greater rest. Other times you'll sit and get sleepy, and it's not so much that you haven't had enough sleep, but rather that the energy of the body becomes so quiet in the meditation that we're not used to being quiet and alert. In that case, you want to sit up straight, or let your eyes be open a little bit, or even more open than that, and bring a brightness or an energy. Perhaps breathe a few breaths more deeply. And then you can notice the sleepiness in the same way that you bow to judgment or anger or the wanting mind. You can simply acknowledge, oh, here's sleepiness. Sleepy, sleepy, and feel what it does. Notice how long it lasts. Maybe some sitting it comes like a fog for a time, and then it passes away. Sometimes it can get very difficult. In my own training in meditation, I went to my teacher and I said, I'm so sleepy all the time, what can I do? And I tried the remedies of sitting up straight or opening my eyes and so forth. Didn't work. Finally, he said, all right, there's a well near your cottage. Go and sit right on the rim of the well. So I went and I sat on the stone at the edge of the well. After a little while, I got sleepy and I started to nod. And I looked down and there was 60 feet of space, and the fear and the adrenaline rush that came kind of sat me right up again. And my meditation got a lot easier with my sleep sitting on the edge of the well. It's not to say you have to struggle with these things, but to understand that these are the natural energies of our mind and of our heart, and that they can be included in the awareness of practice. Another common energy that comes in the meditation when you're sitting is the energy of doubt. I can't do this. It's too hard. It's hard to sit still, or my mind is always wandering. Everybody's mind is wandering. Or I'm distracted, or I'm too young. I should start when I'm older. Or maybe I'm too old. I should have started when I was younger. Or this is the wrong kind of meditation, or whatever. All these thoughts that say, I can't be here where I actually am. I need it to be somehow different. So what to do when your mind doubts? What to do when your mind doubts is very simple. You simply bow to it. Oh, there's the doubting mind. Everyone has it. But you can't do it. Thank you. You're not even doing that right. Thank you. I appreciate your opinion. And simply seeing the doubting mind as it comes and goes. It's a way of finding an inner freedom in the midst of all the stories that the mind can tell to you. And in that way, you come to a new kind of peace. One more thing to add before we go to the next meditation. Just as the moods of wanting or restlessness or doubting or fear or aversion will arise and pass, and we can bow to them and acknowledge them as part of the meditation, so too there will be the movement of mind, the thought factory, you could call it, spinning out plans and memories and imaginations and telling stories. And the simple task in the meditation is to acknowledge that. Oh, planning or remembering. And usually when you acknowledge it with a single word or two, planning, planning, it just dissolves like the sunlight on fog. And then you can come back to the next breath. There is a story, if you will, of this holy fool Mullah Nasruddin. One day he went into the bank to cash a check. And they said, could you please identify yourself? So he reached into his pocket and pulled out a small mirror and looked in it and said, yep, that's me all right. And that's a lot of what your mind does in meditation. It recapitulates the past. Your mind tells the stories of what happened to you, and it imagines this and that will happen in the future, all starring yourself. And after a while, you can even get tired of those stories. So the idea is not to judge them, it's part of the natural working of the mind, but to see that the stories aren't life itself, they're not the reality, they're just the reflection, the second hand. So instead, what you want to do when the mind begins to think is simply to acknowledge it. Oh, there's planning, there's remembering. Sometimes an important thought will come, and you might say to yourself, when the meditation is over, I'll think about that. But for now, let me see if I can make myself peaceful first. Let me see if I can get still. So when the meditation is over, I'll be in a place to really wisely reflect about this problem. Again, finding a way to sit where you're comfortable and at ease, upright with a certain dignity, and allowing the eyes to be closed or lowered unless you're quite sleepy. Coming back to yourself, to the posture, the sensations, the breath. Again, as we begin sitting, allow your attention to rest in the breathing. This is like home base. It's the place to return to over and over, feeling the next breath, feeling its beginning or middle or end, the coolness or the pressure or the rhythm, and learning to use the breath as a place to quiet the mind and soften the heart. Let the awareness be spacious and easy, without judgment, noticing the rhythm of the breath, noticing sounds if they arise and pass, or noticing the sensations of your body, receiving them with a kind and respectful attention, tingling, pain, itching. Rest peacefully in the present, breath and body. And now, as you feel the natural rhythm of breathing, resting in the present, if there arise any moods or feelings or thoughts that carry you away from the breathing, you can acknowledge them gently with a soft word in the back of the mind, planning or wanting or fear. Or sadness, or perhaps it will be pleasant moods, love, or joy, or peacefulness. If a feeling arises and becomes noticeable, let go of the breathing and acknowledge it gently, sleepy, sleepy, or restless, restless. And as you name it, give it space to open or change as it will. Restless, 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 feeling it quite fully, and when it's passed away, return back to the breath. When you notice that thoughts arise, pictures or words, and they carry you away from awareness of breath and body, you can name them softly, planning, or thinking, or remembering. And when you do, it's as if you step out of the thought, and it releases or dissolves, and then you can gently return back to feel the breath again, present, and here with the breathing. Let yourself rest in the space of awareness. Thoughts come and go, sounds come and go, and you rest at ease. Feeling the breathing, or naming the waves of experience when they become strong. Even if the moods and feelings are quite subtle, they can be included in the meditation at times. Let's practice with the moods that are present right now. Be aware of what feeling is present as you sit. It might be peaceful, or excited, or sad, or happy, or calm. When you sense what mood or feeling is present, name it very softly to yourself, calm, calm, or whatever it is, and give it space to open or change as it will. Notice what happens as you bring your attention to that mood. And if it passes away or dissolves, you can gently return to the breath. If another mood follows it, you can bow to that one, acknowledging restless, or whatever it is. Being aware of the breathing, acknowledging the sensations of body when they're strong, including the heart and mind, the moods and thoughts, as they arise in the meditation. As you sit, feeling the breath, notice when thoughts come, if they are word or picture thoughts, or both. Gently name them, thinking, or imagining, planning. And notice what happens as you meet them with awareness. And after they have dissolved, again return back quite simply to feel the breathing in the midst of all experience. Some of the kinds of questions or concerns that come up as the meditation opens further includes the thinking and feeling. People will say, I'm lost in thought so much of the time. What should I do? I think the first thing is simply to acknowledge how much we are lost in thought. It's called, in insight meditation, it's called seeing the waterfall. To see how much thought there is inside. It doesn't matter how often you go away or how long the thoughts last. That's not really in our control very much. What matters most simply is that the moment that you wake up, that magic moment when you realize, oh, I've been thinking, whether it's 5 seconds or 5 minutes later, that's the moment that makes a difference. Because that moment then gives you the choice to continue to be lost in thought, or to come back again and say, here I am, alive in this present moment. So it doesn't matter how many thoughts there are or how long they last. What matters is at the moment in the end, when you realize, ah, I've been thinking, then in that moment you can return. It's the very returning that is the training for awakening, for living in a present and mindful way. Sometimes people also have confusion with the naming. It's too hard to name the feelings or thoughts. Was that a plan or a memory? Is this sadness or sorrow? If it seems complicated, keep the names very simple. You can either drop them or just note generally feeling or thinking. The naming is an optional aid to help us simply be aware of whatever's happening. so you can use it if it serves you, and if not, just let your awareness be with whatever's present. Another kind of question that comes up is, what if the feelings are really strong? You sit and a sadness comes, and all of a sudden the grief that many of us have carried for years arises, and it's as if you could meditate and weep for a long time. What to do if you're sad for a long period, or angry, or some other feeling lasts a long time? That too is fine. Sometimes the theme of meditation is sleepiness. Sometimes it will be the tears of our sorrow. Sometimes it will be joy. Let the feelings come and go as they will, and let that be your meditation. It's like the clouds that need to rain and weep themselves to the end, a poet said, in order for us to have again the clear sky, the beauty of the heart, to shine out from beyond it. So don't be afraid of whatever feelings arise in meditation. Let them be part of your practice. My teacher said that if you haven't really wept deeply, you probably haven't meditated for so long yet. So it too is a part of the practice. What about stories that come and repeat themselves over and over again? We like to call them the top 10 tunes in meditation. You sit there and the record goes on and it plays itself again and again, the same story. If there's a repeating thought that comes again and again to you, generally you can give it a soft name for whatever it is, worry or remembering. And if it comes back many times, it's a signal that something deeper wants to be felt or accepted. So if the thought keeps coming again and again to you, maybe there's a loss that needs to be acknowledged, or a love that you have that wants to be acknowledged, or some creativity that wants to be felt and later on honored in some way. If something keeps coming back, it's as if it knocks on the door and says, hey, I'm important in your life. Feel me, accept me, or acknowledge me in some way deeply. Part of the learning that we're doing to be with restlessness and grief and love and excitement, with what is called the 10,000 joys and 10,000 sorrows of life, is to make a peaceful heart. And if we want to have a world of less violence or less war, of less conflict, it's a necessary and central task for us as a human being to work with those very forces in ourself. Alexander Solzhenitsyn, the Russian author, says that the line dividing good and evil cuts through the heart of every human being. It's not someone else who has anger or fear or hatred or greed or aggression. It's not someone else who is the cause of all the problems in the world, but it's all of us together. And so there's a very deep task in meditation to learn how to be with the most powerful energies of our own being and to find some compassion, to find some way of mindfulness and openness in the midst of those. At this point, our awareness now has opened from the breath and the posture of the body to include the energies and the physical sensations, the sounds which might arise, the moods and feelings of the heart, and the thoughts and images, the stories the mind tells. In this way, we've really opened the meditation to the music of life, to the dance that is the energy we experience when we sit. We use the breath in the center of it as a way to still ourselves and become peaceful, and then use the awareness to meet whatever arises with kindness and with a balance or wisdom. And in this way, whatever comes to you can be part of your meditation. And to end, I would like to remind you of three simple things. It says in the Tao, I have just three things to teach: simplicity, patience, and compassion. These three are your greatest treasures. Simple in actions and thoughts, you return to the source of being. Patient with both friends and enemies, you accord with the way things are. compassionate toward yourself, you reconcile all beings in the world. I hope that you can find a way to use the practices of meditation, little by little, in your life, to find that place of calm and centeredness and compassion and peace that is the birthright of every human being. I hope that these practices of meditation are of real value to your life and your heart and to all those around you.
This concludes Session 1 of Meditation for Beginners with Jack Kornfield. Our program continues with Session 2.